Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. Wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, of course, Garrett Miller, and tonight we've got a talented lady who's going to be joining our show, Tatiana Shabilnik, who is a designer and probably one of the most interesting people I've had the opportunity to talk to in 2014. So we're going to hear all about her story, but also a crowdfunding campaign that she's got in, she's going to tell us all about it. So I'm going to tell you about what's going on in the rest of the world after our time together today. So without further ado, I just want to bring Tatiana onto Rated G Radio and say thank you so much for being on the show.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Tatiana, thank you so much for being here on this fantastic Wednesday night. As we get ready to start the show here, since I know I've talked to you a little bit. You were nice enough to take my call last week. But for those of you who don't know who Tatiana is, Tatiana, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Absolutely. I will be happy to. I came to United States 20 years ago. It will be 16th of August, exactly 20 years, when I left Minsk, Belarus. I came here to United States on a scholarship from United States government to study library and information science in graduate school. And before that, back in my country, I was teaching for 5 years library science. I was a full-time professor. As for fashion design story, that goes way back, and I think I will have to back up. And when I will be telling about my fashion, that's where I'm going to mention about it.
Perfect.
It's a long, long story, actually. I feel like I lived multiple lives and on different continents and countries. So.
Well, I know that part of your travels and, you know, around the world have been a little harrowing at times. You had some experiences in London, but I think, number one, I'm fascinated by you for a number of reasons. You are over here doing design. You have a different, you know, career like we all do when we're doing our passion projects that, you know, you do during the day. But I think what I'm just so impressed with about you, before you even came to the United States, like you were telling me before, you were a professor in Russia teaching classes. How did that come about? Did you grow up knowing that you were going to be a teacher or professor?
My dream always was fashion design, and I will tell you the story how it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Since I was a little girl, my mom actually made all my clothing. I think since the age of 6 or 7, I lived in the Soviet Union, and at that time, economic situation was not good at all. Even by now in Belarus and former republics of the Soviet Union, which are independent countries, it's still not the best, as you may know. Getting clothing, buying clothing, good quality was not easy. And if I tell to people that to get good quality shoes or anything could take staying in lines for 3-4 hours, people would not believe unless they lived there.
Wow.
But that was the truth. That was the truth. But I always liked quality things. I always loved art. I was drawing and painting since I was little. My mom was a single mother. She divorced my dad when I was, I think, 6 or 7. I wish I remembered, but I don't. And to supplement her income, she was a physicist at the Academy of Sciences. She went for 2 years and learned how to sew professionally. We are talking professionally on the levels of high-end stores. And
wow.
She is a perfectionist. If something is not done correctly, she will undo the whole thing and will redo it again. She had many, many magazines, books, so I grew up with those German Burda magazines. And I was sketching my outfits. Before I was sketching my outfits, I was drawing for my dolls. But then, obviously, I wanted to present my mom with my designs, what I wanted, and would combine them from multiple Burda magazines, which would drive my mom crazy, but still she would implement that very successfully. She also did crocheting, knitting, anything you name, including even making carpets with my grandma. So I grew up with my grandmother and with my mom. My grandma taught me how to knit when I was very little. And I remember her knitting every single day, sweaters, anything you name, for relatives. It was all for free. She was doing everything for free. She had only one class of education, and she even didn't go to a Russian school but to a Polish, because at that time Belarus was under Poland. Unfortunately,
wow.
My grandma died like around 2 years ago, and she was 98 years old.
Oh, bless her heart. Wow.
So my upbringing and ethics for work in many ways comes from grandma, because she would put me and my cousin to work since we were little kids. We would spend summers in the village, and she would make us work. Unless we do the job, we wouldn't play in the evening with friends. That was pretty much the childhood.
That was...
What
a great experience, though. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was tough, and, you know, that was probably not the easiest thing for you to go through. But looking back, what were some of your favorite things that you were able to learn from that?
I think it's work ethics. That nothing comes in life easy. And my grandmother's life was extremely difficult, because my grandfather left for the war in 1941, when my mom was only 1 year old, and my grandma had also another child. Before that, mm-hmm. she lost five other children. They died.
Oh, wow.
She was left with two little kids. Grandfather never could come back because he became a prisoner of war, ended up in labor camp, moved to England, and then to Canada. In Canada, he remarried a
mm-hmm.
Belarusian Polish woman, and died in 1962 from cancer. He never could come back, but he wrote letters and sent some money to my grandma and to my mom. Only when he was dying, he told to this woman that he has a family back in Belarus. When I was 19, I am the one who tracked this story through Belarusian community in London. And that's because my goal was to travel the world, and... in London, I was able to find this out through Belarus.
Wow.
So that's kind of an interesting story. So, but if we are connecting with the fashion, so as I said, I grew up with this pretty much. And if anybody would ask me what would I want to do, I would say I want to be a fashion designer. And
sure.
when I was 15 years old, the only school in Belarus was in Vitebsk, which is Vitebsk Technological University, was far away from Minsk, and my mom was a single mom, and obviously I don't think she wanted me to leave, and I would live in a dorm over there. In order to get into this university, I would have to pass all the art exams. In the Soviet Union, the system is very different, especially at that time. It wasn't based on money, or it wasn't based on your GPA. It pretty much was very competitive and based on your grades and how many people they accept to the program,
mm-hmm.
and also it was based on bureaucracy and connections.
Wow.
The first thing was to get into an art studio in order to prepare for that. I remember I was 15 years old, and I asked my mom to help me to find a studio. A response from my mom was, I even reminded her recently, and she said, you need it, you'll find it. And that's what I did. I found through my friend, and I went to one art studio, and the painter, he said that you're pretty good. I'm going to transfer you to the one that prepares people for Art Academy. And that's where I started learning how to draw portraits, how to draw a body, how to basically do watercolor painting. And I sort of got into this artsy atmosphere and decided instead of going to VTIPS, to fashion school, to try and apply to the Academy of Art in Minsk, which was very competitive. I didn't get in. So I thought that I would go and work for a year and then apply again, but then I was for 10 years an A student, and it wouldn't look good on my mom that her child didn't get into the university. So I decided I'll just randomly go, and library science was a random thing where I ended up.
So I love that, because what a fascinating way to get to university and to also make sure your mom, was respected.
Yes, and the thing is, with library science, I think it was not a random thing, because it's library science that brought me to United States.
Right.
It would be fashion at that time. I would never be here.
Exactly.
The thing is, it was meant to be this way, because from the very first year when I started library school, I was noticed by the head of the department. He became my supervisor, research advisor, and I wrote all my papers under his supervision. I was an A student, and I remember already on the fourth year he was telling to me that he would offer me the job teaching position at the same department, which was pretty much very prestigious over there. Even money was small everywhere there. Everybody was equal. Everybody was getting 120 rubles per month. It didn't matter whether you went to school or you were working at the factory. So, yeah, that was just the situation in the Soviet Union. One thing with me was that I always, since I remember I was like 17, I wanted to see the world, and this was my obsession. So I started taking English lessons with a private teacher from Linguistic University. And I was a student at library school, but all my free time I would spend learning English. And at that time, it was a beginning of exchanges between United States and Western Germany, and they would send groups of young people there. So any opportunity I had, I would go to meet those people and to practice my English. And that's how I made friends in West Germany. That's how I made friends in Netherlands. And that's how Rotary Club in Holland invited me in 92 and 93 to spend two summers over there. So I was a Rotary exchange student over there.
How cool is that?
That is why I'm saying library science wasn't a random thing. And then in 93, I was invited by my friends in London to visit. But I knew I didn't have, obviously, enough money, so I asked one of my friends, who at that time was working in a sweatshop, because they also came there, and they didn't have legal papers. The only option was to do unqualified jobs. So for 11 days, I had this fantastic opportunity to see what a sweatshop in London looks like. So if you didn't see the movie Dirty Pretty Things, I would highly recommend to anybody to see it. It's phenomenal. It's based on a true story shot in London. Audrey Tautou is playing the key role over there, amazing French actress. And one of the scenes is happening in a sweatshop in London.
And that was your life?
Yeah, it's actually fascinating, because I could see from inside what it is. I had to basically work 14 hours per day just cutting threads from blouses, and the clothing was produced for Harrods. If you know, it's one of the most expensive in London. And after 11 days, they even gave me two gifts. They gave me a white blouse and a green skirt that I think my mom still might have in Minsk and Belarus.
Gosh.
I don't remember. But at that time, I didn't know that one day I will make my dream a reality and be a fashion designer. So I hope those two things are still back at home, but I don't know. And also another thing that I think this year I watched this amazing documentary. Director is Varun Bonikos. Amazing job. It's about Oswald Boateng, and it's called A Man's Story. That inspired me a lot. And he also started in London in a very small place. And I think it was in Hackney, if I'm not mistaken.
So what happened after London?
After London, what happened? My friend in London, she's German. She was my teacher of English back in Minsk, but she's originally from Germany, lived in London, and she works actually for Canterbury University as a counselor. She invited me to visit her in Canterbury and Broadstairs. That is why I wanted to make some money in order to travel through England. And I remember Angie, she said, Tatiana, if you can't get the scholarship for United States or England, then nobody can. So I came back. I came back home. And within 1 year, I applied for 9 scholarships.
Wow.
And I had to pass TOEFL, I have no idea, 5 or 6 times. I remember that I applied for master's in public administration. I applied for 2 programs in England. One of them was sponsored by Belarusian community in London. And the very last program that I applied for was a graduate exchange program in United States in library science. And one of the programs was for the Library of Congress, 3 months internship. I got 2 of them. I got the Library of Congress, and I did get also the graduate exchange program.
How amazing is that?
And the most funny thing, because my second language is German, I got a 1 month exchange program for Germany, but I wasn't even able to go. I had the visa in my passport, but everything was happening during the same summer. So I had to give up the German scholarship, and I flew on August 16th, which I said will be 20 years ago, to LSU, to Louisiana State. I didn't even have a clue what Louisiana is, what climate is there. And I just remember when I opened the door and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah,
and the
very
dean
human,
of library,
right?
Yeah, the dean of library school with his wife were meeting me. And I was just so frustrated with the climate. But everything worked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we've already got somebody in the chat room who is... she said that great to hear Tatiana discuss her new career as a fashion designer. She's the fiercest person I know. She says it was only 2 years ago when I went with her to purchase her first sewing machine.
Oh, yeah, Sheila. We can get Sheila online. Sheila is fascinating. She's my very, very good friend.
Well, Sheila needs to call in. I put the call-in number here on the screen, so if Sheila wants to call in,
that would be fantastic. Yeah, you would probably would want to hear Sheila's story. She's amazing. She's amazing,
well,
yes.
She said she'd
call.
It was her advice
to purchase this machine and the serger.
So how did your time at LSU go?
I loved Louisiana. I think from all the states in the United States, this is the most fascinating one as for culture. First of all, I love dance, and as people can see from my LA Fashion Week, I incorporated dance into the runway. It's because Latin dancing became my passion since 1994, and Louisiana also had Cajun and Zydeco, and I used to date there for 1 year, a musician also. He played in a jazz band. Phenomenal culture. I danced through graduate school, as I said, every Friday and Saturday till 5 a.m. I have no idea how I made it with GPA 393, but I did. But I danced at Latino parties till 5 a.m. And I threw big ones in our apartment. I lived with my Armenian girlfriend. She is a director of a library now in Canada. So we would invite like 20, 25 people dancing in one room Latin. It would be meringue, salsa. So it was very, very cool. Or we would caravan to New Orleans and go to Copacabana or to those crazy carnivals, as I call Mardi Gras.
I think Sheila might be calling in.
Sheila is calling.
I think, let's see if this is her. Sheila, welcome to the Rated G Radio. How are you tonight?
Thanks so much, Garrett. I'm great. It's great hearing you talking to Tatiana. Isn't she inspiring?
Oh, my gosh. What is she not one of the most fascinating people you've ever met?
Can you imagine going to a country and not knowing anybody and away from your family and starting this amazing life? And she's had 3, 4, 5 careers. And she's just
Brilliant
awesome,
careers,
inspiring.
Too.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Every day she inspires me. So I'm so glad you have her on your show.
Well, Sheila, okay, so I know I kind of spilled the beans because I didn't know if you were going to call in or not about the sewing machine story. Do you have maybe another story or two that you could spill about Tatiana that might put her in a nice spotlight?
Sure. Well, let me get back to the sewing machine story because we had just met. She had just started working where I work currently at the same campus. And she said, hey, let's go to the L.A. County Fair. And I hadn't been in years, and I thought, oh, well, fine. It's employee day. We got in free. So it was just the price of parking. And so I'm driving there thinking, honestly, what would you want to do at the L.A. County Fair after work? And she said, I'm looking for a sewing machine. And I thought, of all the places that you would go to buy a sewing machine,
right?
I don't get it. And she said that the stores told her that they would have all the different models on display and that she could look at them. Yeah, and
how
so
smart.
I said, well, you know, I sew. I'm just, not like her. I'm an amateur costume maker. I do hybrid crazy costumes, and I used to sew for my son. For Halloween and whatever. So I said, I know a little bit about sewing machines. So, I mean, and it was crazy. She bought the sewing machine and a serge machine, and she carried all of those on a cart all through the county fair. It was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember that, Tatiana?
I remember, but remember that it was 50 off. That I got it 50% off.
That's right, exactly. It was a great deal. I thought, man, I wish I could sew. I'd buy a machine myself. It was great. So, and then a year after that, she has a show in Mint. I'm like, no, really, honestly, I can't believe it. And then she did the Raw Awards show and then the L.A. Fashion Week in L.A., it was fabulous. She let me help out. It was fantastic. I had the time of my life backstage. So
well, Sheila,
awesome.
If you can hang on the line, I'm not going to mute you, but I'm going to just ask you to hang on if you want. And Tatiana, let's fast forward a little bit here. So we've got Sheila telling us about getting the sewing machine, but you know, how did you end up in California?
As for California, that's also an interesting story. After Louisiana, because I had only my practical training visa, I applied all over United States basically for librarian jobs, and the only option was Michigan Tech, which is, I called American Siberia, of nowhere. And they are the only ones who said that they would sponsor me for a working visa.
Okay.
So I had to move up north to the Lake Superior to Michigan Tech, and I was literally scared to death. When I flew to the interview, and it was April, it was snowing, and the plane from Detroit to Houghton, Michigan was canceled, and I was 12 hours on the bus to get to the interview.
Oh, my gosh.
This was quite an interesting story, and the funniest thing that I ended up on the bus with David, who worked at IT, and then ended up on my web team, that I was a manager of a web team, and gave me all inside story before I got to the interview.
He told you everything you needed to know.
Exactly, because he worked for the library, and he worked for the IT at the library where I was interviewing. So, yes,
you
I
have a lot of things
position.
That happen in your life where the circumstances are just such that they're just very favorable to you.
Yes, it's actually, yes. I'm not giving you lots of details because you can write a book out of it. And we have only 45 minutes. But Nancy Zofran, she's still a friend of mine. She was the head of automation at that time, absolutely amazing and inspiring woman. She hired me, and I was a librarian and web team manager in Michigan Tech for 4 years. And over there, I also couldn't basically stay still. So in a year, I enrolled into a PhD program in rhetoric and technical communication because it was free. So I couldn't take an opportunity of another free education. So I took a bunch of classes, finished classwork. But then Michigan Tech screwed up my paperwork for the green card.
Uh-oh.
And I started applying all over United States to different universities and looking for another sponsor. And that's when Whittier College came to place, and it was the only place. It was not library-related job, but it was web manager for the whole college. And Kate Brundage, amazing person, she was the head of communications at that time. She said that, I am going to do it. And she did. So they hired me, and she was working with lawyers. It was a very, very tedious process. If I tell you, I don't know whether I sent you a link to my documentary that was shot in 2006. It took me 9 years of immigration, and I haven't seen my mother for 9 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Well,
and then after 9 years, I was able to fly back over there. That's how I came to California. So obviously, as you can imagine, during those years, I could not think about fashion. So my only goals were staying in the United States, getting the green card, and making my career.
I am so proud of you for making all of these changes and getting out here. So let's now talk about some fashion here. So you're out here, you're settled down a little bit, and when does the fashion bug reignite in your body? When do you want to take the phone down?
Well, that's what happened. Basically, I was married from 2001 until, I think, 2009. And then, actually, I was feeling like I am hitting the dead end. As for even like my career in web and everything. And fashion always was on the back of my mind. And at that time, during the years of marriage, I gained weight, which I was very unhappy about, and I decided I need to change everything. So after we separated, first of all, I was always passionate about Latin dancing. During my marriage, Latin dancing stopped. That was my big mistake. So immediately I got back to salsa club. Stevens Steakhouse, I was there a couple of times per week after we separated. And I started taking classes in salsa and later in bachata. And I got very, very seriously into this. So I also lost 30 pounds.
Congratulations.
And I got... after I've taken many classes, one of my friends, he told me about Cristian Oviedo, actually the dancer on my show, about him and his amateur bachata team. So I joined the team. I danced on Cristian's team for 1 year. So I trained every Sunday in Santa Monica. And then after we trained, we would perform in clubs. And then I danced on Paso de Oro in Whittier for 1 year. I trained. And we performed in multiple clubs. We went to Bachata Festival in Reno. So I was heading the direction where I was thinking I need a change in my life. So I also enrolled into modeling school. I finished Barbizon for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it's not to be a model. Even I did I think one time it was for one designer, but it was really low-end in my opinion. So it was unpaid, but it was a good experience. But I did learn what modeling is. Then I enrolled into makeup class at Rio Hondo College, got my makeup certification. And after this, I seriously focused on finding the right place for fashion. So I enrolled into OTIS, Fashion Designer Certification, and started taking classes. As soon as I started taking classes, the classes were in Fashion District. And I started going to those stores every time after the class. I learned literally every single store in Fashion District. And that's the first dress that I designed was sewn by my very close friend, Yelena Solomina. She is an amazing artist. She paints, and she used to teach fashion design back in Belarus. I met her through her daughter, Olga, who was a photographer at that time. So we became close friends. So Elena sewn my first dress. I didn't show it at LA Fashion Week. I kind of keep it just as a first sample.
Sure.
But this is a part of this collection. Then I started taking classes, and I decided to make a line of shawls and scarves, and that's the ones that I started selling to my friends. It was fun. I was doing this just for fun. And then I decided I have to do something more serious than that. I started sketching, and life brought me in touch with an amazing woman. It was through my good friend. She introduced me to Olga Petrova, who was a lead designer for Sochi Fashion House, for 25 years. And Olga basically was my mentor. All my, whatever fabrics I bought, whatever sketches I had, she gave me all her advice. Moreover, she did about 11 very professional fashion illustrations for me. She's over 70 years old, I'm going to frame. This is a piece of art for me. I'm close friends with Olga up till now. And Olga, in fact, came to my main rehearsal for LA Fashion Week. She just wanted to see. She wanted to see the collection. And during the year, I did the sketches. I pretty much bought all the fabric. I bought the leather, silk, and chiffon. Those are my favorite. And I flew to Belarus. I am very lucky that I have great friends. I have great friends. They arranged for me. Every single was there. I hired 4 people in Belarus who professionally sew. And for 3.5 weeks, I sewn my whole collection over there. And my friend, who is a president of Rotary Club Minsk, I've been a member of Rotary for many years, since 2006, and past president of Pico Rivera Rotary Club. So when I came to their meeting, literally the second day when I arrived, and when he found out what I am doing, he said, oh, by the way, I am organizing avant-garde fashion show in Minsk on June 15th, and I want you to be a visiting designer from Los Angeles. And I said, oh, my God, how many samples do you need there?
Uh-huh.
And he said, minimum 15. And I said, okay, I'll do it.
and did you have 15 designs you could send?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I had, but I never have done a single fashion show in my life. And he said, and this was in a big theater, and he said, you just have to pick up the music. So I spent quite a bit of time picking up the music. I wasn't even able to download it from Belarus. I had to ask my ex-husband to email me the file. I just said which song to download from Amazon. And then, as for models, even he said he had the models, he really didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to ask a couple of my very good-looking friends. And then because of my connections in Minsk, one of my friends, she put me in touch with a person who is a key person for fashion, organizer of Minsk Fashion Week, Kirill. And Kirill gave me his choreographer. So Lior literally choreographed the show for 3 hours. from those models that we were able to get some from modeling agency, and a couple of them were people who never walked on the stage.
Oh, my goodness.
It's hilarious, but it was so much fun. So I have it actually on video. I do have it online. But my main goal, when people were asking me what is your main goal, and I was saying it's LA Fashion Week. So I knew about Raw Awards from my very good friend, Sarah Blank, who won Raw Awards in 2011 as a makeup artist. And she's
the
one who
awards?
Put me... Raw Awards is an organization that puts together showcases for natural-born artists like me. I don't have education. I mean, I didn't go to fashion school or anything.
Okay.
It's called Raw. It's natural-born. It's a phenomenal organization and excellent experience for me. So I met Tyler. Tyler saw my samples, and he said immediately that he wants me at the show. And he said, do you want to open or close? I said, close the show.
Of course. You need to be the star.
So that's how I got into Raw Awards. A friend of my friend Lena Valeria Goncharova, who is a stylist, she helped with choreographing the show, so everything is online. So if you Google Tatiana Shabelnik Raw Awards, you will see my first show and you will see the final one. So the idea was that people started voting. So basically, I think maybe among 40, 50 designers, public had to vote and select five, and then the judges would select three. So I was one of three nominated for the Designer of the Year for Los Angeles.
Wow. And that was for 2013.
Yeah, 2013. At the same time, Los Angeles Times came to interview me to Claremont McKenna, where I work full-time. I am very grateful to all my friends at McKenna, especially Alyssa Stedman. She is phenomenal. She does all our writings, like press releases and everything. She was my PR for fashion. She volunteered. She did everything for me. We are talking about my bio. We are talking about my press release, everything. And she was at the shows. So, and my friend Nick, he used to work for 11 years at Los Angeles Times. So he was fascinated, obviously, with my story. So he reached out.
There
and
hey,
LA Times got very interested.
Tatiana, we have another caller calling in. Can I have you pause the story for just a real quick second while we
absolutely,
take a look at who else?
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, next caller, you're on the line with Tatiana. Welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you tonight?
Very good. This is Lana Nino. Are you referring to me, Garrett?
I am. Welcome.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I also wanted to say something about Tatiana. I'm a
Please.
Business professor at Whittier College, and I want to tell everyone who's listening, she exemplifies the entrepreneur of the year. She's just an amazing, amazing entrepreneur. She's able, she has a vision, and she follows her vision very, very persistently, and she's able to see the big picture, and she's also able to focus on the details. If she's missing a resource, she's always able to utilize the people around her. But as a very good social entrepreneur, she's always giving back. So if anybody is thinking about supporting an entrepreneur, she is really the one to support. One short story about Tatiana is I was thinking that to take her up to Santa Barbara for a fun vacation, that's all I had in mind is one night where we can not think about work. And she came in, you know, I picked her up from her condo, and she came in with like 10 bags. I'm not kidding. And
oh
I was thinking,
gosh.
You know, this is just a one night. You could probably get away with a handbag or maybe a backpack. And Tatiana had all of her samples, all of her fabrics, all of her scarves, all of her jewelry, We drove up to Santa Barbara, and she went to all the boutiques, identified, you know, who's the decision maker at any at all of the boutiques. Didn't waste any time. Talked to all the decision maker, and we left with at least 2 to 3 real orders that she followed up on. And sent, you know, I can't remember, she would have to probably fill in the details, but I think one of the boutiques ordered 500 scarves.
No, 100 scarves.
100 scarves.
100 scarves.
100 scarves is still 100 scarves. That's huge.
Which she sewed within the next couple of weeks. And
1 week, Lana.
And that
one
was our one-night getaway.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that
so
is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it is crazy. So that is why another person who may be calling, she would say, my crazy Bella Rush.
Yeah. Amazing entrepreneur. I mean, if it's not available, she will find it. If she doesn't know how to do it, she will pursue a class to learn how to do it. I heard her. Just this past weekend, she was thinking about taking a class in copywriting and patents, you know, just so she's not missing out on any opportunity in her business.
But how smart is that, though? You know, that really is that, you know, and it's nice that, you know, there are people who only want to focus on the one aspect of their business, but when you have a much more well-rounded perspective, and you certainly have a global view, Tatiana, on what you're trying to accomplish. I am just in awe of that because you really are an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lana. Yes,
oh,
Lana
welcome.
Tried to take me for vacation.
It's all true.
True. So, Lana, if you could take Tatiana somewhere else again, where would you take her next time?
Well, you know, our next trip was to Laguna. I knew that, you know, the bags are coming anyway. So I said, we'll just have to go to Laguna Beach. And I think Tatiana created some more orders and more stuff on consignment. And this is not without letting go of her big vision that she wants to be a well-known fashion designer. She does not just want to sell on consignment or
sure.
in boutique shops. She has a vision to become a very well-known label. She has already created a very unique collection. She has very exotic, unique colors. I think she would be very attractive for business women who are looking for high-end clothing that differentiates them. And not necessarily just business, but maybe celebrities, because she has a really unique, exotic collection.
Well,
speaking of... So I have big hopes for her.
Well, Lana, I think if I could tip you tonight for calling into the show, I would, because this leads perfectly into the Mercedes-Benz fashion show that Tatiana is trying to do a little global fundraising for. So, Lana, thank you for calling in tonight. Mm-hmm. I sure appreciate it, and I hope you'll tune in again.
All right. Very good. Very good.
Thanks, Lana. Mm-hmm. So, Tatiana, let's talk about, you know, one of the other things, well, you know, everybody knows what a great designer you are. So that part we've kind of established tonight. But one of the things that we wanted to have you talk about tonight was the fact that you're trying to raise some money for a project that you're working on. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely, because I was invited by FTL Moda by Ilaria Nicolini, whom I met in November at LA Fashion Week. She's one of the producers to Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. And she has a closing night, September 11th, and it's a humongous amount of money, obviously, that is unrealistic for any designer just to pay. So that is why I decided to run fundraising. Thank you to my interns from Claremont McKenna. They did an amazing job helping me setting up account. And I am on GoFundMe. And it is linked from my page, which is tatianashabelnik.com I put the link right there where people can donate whatever they can. And I'm also giving gifts to people. If people donate $50 minimum, they will get a designer scarf with my label. Or my newest craziness is a jewelry. In fact, Becky Zimberlin, who works with me in Claremont McKenna, she is my very close friend, and she tremendously helped me with LA Fashion Week, got me involved into jewelry because she's a jewelry designer. So I took a class for 3 hours in jewelry, and now I'm doing jewelry as well. So people can get a gift, either my jewelry or my scarf, or people who donate much more. I listed this on the website. It's like 500 or more. They can be a sponsor where they can be covered in all the media, in all the press releases, and everything that FTL Moda puts for the event. So basically to promote their business. Here we are looking more into like becoming like a sponsor. And also I want to say humongous thank you to my good friends Ernie Eisenminger and Alice Eisenminger, who were my tremendous supporters for LA Fashion Week. And in fact, Ernie is the one who said that if you believe in yourself, you are going to do LA Fashion Week, because I was at the edge where deciding whether I'm doing this or I'm not doing this, and mm-hmm. he even gave $1,000 out of his pocket with his wife, Alice.
Wow.
So,
well, thank you for that.
Absolutely, and Ernie may play some calls when he's back. He's actually today expecting his grandbaby to be born. So he is with Alice in Indiana. So they cannot be on the call. But, yes, it's literally as we are talking, he's expecting his grandson to be born.
Well,
so which is an interesting coincidence.
That is
so
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very positive, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it comes through. Because, yeah, I realize it's a big amount of money, and if I can make it, I'll make it. So if it doesn't happen right now, it will happen in the spring. That's my vision.
I don't think there's anybody else who's more determined to reach a goal. And if I can selfishly tell you this, you are somebody who I'm very honored to meet, because you really help focus me for some of the things that I want to work on. And just hearing how you've pursued your dreams and your goals, and you just said, I'm just going to do this and nobody's going to stop me, really, I think, is something that a lot of people don't run into very often. So from selfishly for me, I'm going to say thank you. But I think for the people who are listening who, you know, maybe they're a writer who wants to finish a book, or they are working on a movie, or they want to go to college to pursue a particular career, I think your story really is number one, is fascinating, but it really speaks to the fact that if you want to do something, just figure out what you want to do and then go find the resources and make it happen. You're doing that every day.
Yeah, it's like basically for me it was always a dream. If you have a big goal, if you have this goal set up very, very clear, I believe you can achieve the goal, the same like in the movie The Secret, if I think many people
right.
watch The Secret.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you focus all your energy on this, and I will never forget words of one person. This is a man who brought me to Netherlands. He's a member of Rotary. He used to be a member of Rotary Club in Netherlands. And he was a director of a big factory for people with all kinds of handicap. So he is the one who approached Rotary Club to bring me to his family, to stay with different families of Rotarians with his family, and he is the one who said one thing: there is no word impossible in my dictionary, which stuck in my brain. And that's after being in Netherlands the following year, that's when I applied for all the scholarships.
See, and you are living proof that if you want it, it shall be done. So,
oh yeah.
Wow, just
absolutely.
What a pleasure to have you here tonight. For everybody who's listening, I'm going to be putting up the fundraising page for Tatiana. It's on GoFundMe.com, but I'll be posting that on the Rated G Radio page, also on my page. It's on Tatiana's her website itself, and then, of course, if you're friends with her, it's on her Facebook page as well. Any last words of wisdom or things that you'd like to share with the audience that we can pass along tonight, Tatiana?
Yes, absolutely. I think if you do good things for people, good things will come to you. So whenever you can help people, help people.
Absolutely. Words to live by.
So
here's a little... Oh, yeah. But, and don't go anywhere. I'm going to play a song. But for everybody else, here's a little fashion music for you. We'll be right back. There we go. That was a little Dress You Up by Madonna, of course, fashion-inspired music for Tatiana Shabilnik, who's our VIP special guest star tonight on Rated G Radio. Want to give a big shout-out thanks to Sheila and also Lana for calling in and showing their support for Tatiana and just everything she brings to the table. I told Tatiana right as the music was playing, and we just had a chance to chat offline a little bit. I said, you know, you just make the world a better place, and I can't wait to meet you in person. So we're going to go have lunch one of these days super soon, and I'm grateful to everybody who's in her world that helps support her a little bit. So what's coming up the rest of the week? You ask. Tomorrow night from New York City, we've got actor, comedian, and all-around good human being, Kelly Karavides, who will be back on the show. He's going to be talking about what he's been up to, including producing and starring in some independent films out of New York. And then on Friday night, for a very early special Friday Night Dance Party, we've got musician Carl Thornton, who will be our guest star live and in Technicolor. I just got his press kit today, so we'll be playing Carl's music and talking to him about all the cool things that are going on in his world. So if you are kind of playing catch-up with the show for the week, as some of you are, go back and re-listen to the rest of the week. On Monday, we had Hollywood director Robert Rollins talking about his Yosemite National Park vacation and his movie, Lanterns for the Dead. And then last night, we had comedian, actress, author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, breast cancer survivor, Suzanne Wong. She was on the show last night talking about her workshop called The Playing Field out of Los Angeles. That's definitely a must-listen to anybody who wants to be surrounded by creativity and talent. Suzanne Wong is absolutely awesome. So that, my friends, one last song, and then we are out of here. We'll see you live tomorrow night, 10 East, 7 West, Kelly Karavides, my very special guest, superstar actor out of New York City. Have a great night.
Once upon a time, there was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work.
Don't matter.
I have one thing to say. You better work.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.